You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com.
And today is the third day of March 2021. It is a Wednesday, and we're in part two of chapter two of the Holy Priesthood, volume three, The Priesthood Rites of Eve. I'll dedicate the program. We'll get it right into the reading, and I am opening the phone lines for anybody who wants to call in to listen or comment or whatever. So chat rooms available as well at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask thee, Father, to forgive us of our sins and our transgressions, that we may have thy Spirit to be with us. We thank thee, Father, for the opportunity to be able to talk about the priesthood rites of Eve today and to learn more about her and her role and her mission on this earth. We love thee, Father, and we thank thee for the plan that has been laid out for us. We thank thee for the redemption of Zion that will come in the future and for the atonement of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask for thy blessings to be upon us and dedicate this time unto thee, and do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see here. Oh,
thing here.
Uh-oh. I handled my wrong thing. Let me see if I can find it real quick. So, while I'm looking for this, yesterday after the program, I was taking a shower and getting dressed, and I looked out the bathroom window, and I saw this big bubble in my front yard. And what had happened is the people who used to own this house, they told me that there was this a switch to turn the water on and off outside of the house, and they gave me the wrong hold on here. Sorry. Semicopy. Anyway, they told me that this switch was to turn the water on and off for the whole house. Well, it turns out that switch was actually to turn the sprinkler system off and on for the front yard. So I turned the sprinkler system on and off for the garden and for the orchard and for the side yard, thinking that one was the one to turn off the switch for the front yard too, and it wasn't. What happened was I didn't turn off the one for the front yard, and so the pipes froze for the lawn in the front yard, and the pipes burst because the pipes froze, and then it was warm enough yesterday where it actually the ice melted enough for the water to come out of the broken pipes, and then I had this big bubble in my front yard. We couldn't figure out how to turn it off. So there's a water meter out by the street, so I turned that off completely to stop the water and then tried to figure it out, and I finally was like, okay, turn off the water inside the house, and I'm going to turn this other thing off and see if it turns the water off for the house. So anyway, I did a bunch of stuff. 2 hours after I was supposed to go to work, I finally got to work because I figured out that switch was actually for the lawn, not for the house, like he said. I was like, well, that's kind of redundant. There's two things to turn water off for the house, but it wasn't. It was just that was the one for the front yard. So this house was built by a man who used to live in the area with his wife, and he built it for his family, and it was part of his father's farm, and he got 10 acres from his father to build his house on and to have this farm. And about 4 years now, he had a stroke. And then a couple of months later, he died from the stroke. And his wife, when that happened, this house was too big for her. And I guess it was probably painful that, she lived her whole life, her whole married life, in this house that he built for her. So she went and lived with her son up north, and this house was vacant. And I used to drive by it every day on my way to work, and then, even back when I used to bring the mail down, I used to drive by this house all the time. So it was empty, and there was some windows that were boarded up, and a nice house to buy. I wonder if they're selling it, because I knew it was empty. And I know my wife and I used to joke around about, hey, I'm passing our house. And for like a year, every time I'd get on the phone with her after I'd leave work, and I'd be like, hey, I'm passing the house, I'm coming home. And one day, after the 24th of July celebrations in 2018, I think it was, I said, or no, 2019. Years get mixed up. Anyway, there were people here in the driveway, and I was like, oh, and before that, my co-driver who passed away last year, he died of cancer. He told us who the house belonged to, so we tried to get in contact with them, but we couldn't. So anyway, they were here, and when we were coming back from the 24th of July celebration, so like, I stopped, and my wife stopped. We were driving separate vehicles, and we talked to them, and they were like, well, we got to fix up a bunch of stuff, and we want to sell the house, but anyway, things worked out, and we were able to take over the house. You know, the man who owned the house, who built the house, he knew what everything did. He died, and he didn't tell anybody because he used to take care of everything himself. So when his son told us about, you know, that switch in that culvert, he didn't know what he was talking about. I'm going to be digging up two places. There were two places where the pipe broke because there was two bubbles coming up, pushing the lawn up and making our front yard into a big waterbed. Anyway, so I got to fix that this summer. But anyway, so that's what I got to do yesterday. And then I drove all night and got home around 5:30 this morning and fell asleep. I don't know, it was right after my wife left for work, which is 6:45, 7-ish, so anyway, so that's what I've been up to, and sleeping all day, so I just woke up 15 minutes before the program, so I could do this. All right, I got the reading up here, so let's get into it. The Priesthood Rites of Eve, Part 2 of Chapter 2 of the Holy Priesthood, Volume 3. In the divine order, woman was given to man, not man to woman. Eve was given to Adam to be his helpmeet and companion and share in the building of his kingdom in a way that he could not do alone. There was an order established and one had to be the head, yet they all shared all things in common. Most of Christianity look upon Eve as a weak and sinful vessel, though or through whom the old serpent, the devil, had his great victory. The Mormons, on the other hand, hold Eve in the greatest respect, if not reverence. And if you understand who she really was, you would hold her in reverence. Like, she did what she did because of what needed to happen. God placed the tree in the Garden of Eden on purpose. It wasn't an accident. God knew it was going to happen. Eve was wise enough to know that it was necessary, and she did what she did. And it was a transgression because she was told not to do it, but that's where we get, you know, we have free agency. And she was told to multiply and replenish the earth, but in order for that to happen, she had to partake of the fruit so that she could descend from a celestial resurrected state down into mortality again. And that's actually what happened. So yesterday I was listening to the program after I did it, and I was able to actually post the radio show on YouTube yesterday, which takes a little bit, but I did it. And I noticed that I was messing up some words. So there's things that I say sometimes that I'm thinking a bunch of things at once and I get the words mixed up. So let me just set you straight. Ashura and Michael were resurrected, exalted people. Michael was a savior on an older earth. And he was given the right, because he earned it through his atonement on another world, to have an earth. That's how that works. There's a huge disconnect between, you know, how that is and who Michael was in the modern Mormon church, but this was known in the early days of the Restoration. And Brigham Young talked about it in Journal of Discourses, Volume 1, page 50. In one of his discourses in 1853, I think it was. But they came here as celestial resurrected bodies. And in order to descend from a celestial state, they had to partake of the fruit of mortality in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve partook of that fruit, they descended from, when they were placed on this earth, celestial down to terrestrial, and then celestial, and then they were able to have children. At the end of their lives, they were translated and made terrestrial again. They went up, and then later on, the city of Enoch went up, and that's where they lived, on the city of Enoch, in the Church of the Firstborn, until the time of Jesus Christ's ministry upon the earth. Now, that star that the Chinese record, and they do record that they saw this star, and the wise men of the East saw, who are actually sages or magi from Daniel's, Daniel set stuff up. So Daniel knew about the time when Jesus would come on the earth. So they were looking for the sign, and when they saw the sign when they were over in Iraq, where Babylon was, they followed the star, which was over Jerusalem. Now, that was the city of Enoch up in space that they were seeing. When the sun would shine on it at night, they would see this really bright star. And so they came to Jerusalem, and then they went to Bethlehem, and they delivered Daniel's treasures to Jesus. But before that all happened, Michael, who is Adam in a terrestrial state, came down and impregnated Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Miriam, the mother of Yeshua. So Jesus was part terrestrial, part celestial, making him the only one who would be part terrestrial and part celestial upon this earth in its history. And the only reason he had to have that happen was because celestial and part terrestrial, so he could die, but also he could survive. Resurrected, he went first to his wife Miriam, not his mother, his wife. To comfort her, because he went to a woman first because he was married to her. To Adam, because Adam is his father, literally his father.
I am the same man. Normally, what it says that in the original is he and Adam. Made things easier for us by screwing up words and translating in a certain way, and you're like, Ben Adam.
Yeshua Ben Adam.
as Messiah Ben Joseph, what's that mean? Messiah Ben Joseph means the son of Judah. And he is the anointed one who comes from the son of David, who is the son of Judah. Jesus was Messiah ben David from the house of David and from the tribe of Judah, and he is the King Messiah. All right, let's see here. On the other hand, Mormons hold Eve in the greatest respect, if not reverence. Over a century ago, Edward Tulloch wrote, quote, "The fall is simple. Our immortal parents come down to fall. They come down to transgress the laws of immortality so that they can fall, which is on purpose. They came down to give birth to mortal tabernacles or people, bodies, for a world of spirits. Eve then came down to the mother of a world, or to be the mother of a world, a glorious mother capable of dying at the very beginning to give life to her offspring, that through mortality, the eternal life of the gods might be given her sons and daughters. Motherhood, the same from the beginning even to the end. The love of motherhood passing all understanding. Thus we read in our
I gotta adjust my headset. Okay, here we go.
Thus read our mother sisters, our Mormon sisters, of the fall of their mother. End quote, Woman of Mormondom by Tulloch. Pages 197 and 198. With Eve's knowledge of proper family organization, she certainly recognized and respected Adam's presiding priesthood authority as well as her rights and privileges connected thereto. Quote, "There is no higher authority in matters relating to the family organization, and especially when that organization is presided over by one holding the higher priesthood than that of the Father. This authority is time honored, and among the people of God in all dispensations, it has been highly respected and often emphasized by the teachings of the prophets who are inspired of God. The patriarchal order is of divine origin and will continue throughout time and eternity. There is then a particular reason why men, women, and children should understand this order and this authority in the household of the people of God and seek to make it what God intended it to be, a qualification and preparation for the highest exaltation for his children. In the home, the presiding authority is always vested in the father, and in all home affairs and family matters, there is no other authority paramount." Juvenal Instructa, which comes from the LDS Church, March 1st, 1902. Regarding Eve's high and exalted position, it is interesting to compare two accounts of a vision experienced by Joseph Smith along with Zebedee Coltrane and Oliver Cowdery or Sidney Rigdon. In one report by Zebedee Coltrane in the School of the Prophets, the two heavenly beings are identified as Adam and Eve. In the other one recorded by Abraham H. Cannon, the same two beings are referred to as the mother and the father, the capital letters signifying deity. Once after returning from a mission, he, Brother Coltrane, met Brother Joseph in Kirtland,
who asked him if he did not wish to go up with him to a conference at New Portage. The party consisted of priests. Let's see here. Joseph Smith, Sidney Rigdon, Oliver Cowdery. Oliver Cowdery was not mentioned in the other account. And myself, Zebedee Coltrane. Next morning at New Portage, Coltrane noticed that Joseph Smith seemed to have a far-off look in his eyes, or was looking at a distance. And presently, Joseph, stepped between Brother Cowdery and Coltrane, and taking them by the arm, and said, "Let's take a walk." Hold on here. They went to a place where there was beautiful grass, grape vines. Oh my gosh, I need to pull out the reader program. I'm having issues today. And swamp beach in a waste. President Joseph Smith then said, "Let us pray." They all three prayed in turn, Joseph, Oliver, and Zebedee. Brother Joseph then said, "Now, brethren, we will see some visions." Joseph laid down on the ground on his back and stretched his arms out, and the other two brothers laid on them. So Joseph is laying on his back in the grassy field, and Brother Coltrane and Brother Oliver lay on top of his hands as Joseph is stretching his hands out in the field. The heavens gradually opened, and they saw a golden throne on a circular foundation, something like a lighthouse, and on the throne were two aged personages, having white hair and clothed in white garments. They were the two most beautiful and perfect specimens of mankind he had ever saw. Joseph said, "They are our first parents, Adam and Eve." Adam was a large, broad-shouldered man, and Eve was a woman, was large in proportion. This is recorded in the LDS Church History Department archives under the date of October 11th, 1883, is reprinted in the Salt Lake School of the Prophets Minute Book, 1883, which you can find at Pioneer Press on page 64. President Peterson told of an incident which he often heard Zebedee Coltrane relate. One day, the prophet Joseph Smith asked him, Zebedee Coltrane, and Sidney Rigdon to accompany him into the woods to pray. When they had reached a secluded spot, Joseph laid down on his back and stretched out his arms. He told the brethren to lie one on each arm and then shut their eyes. After they had prayed, he told them to open their eyes. They did so, and they saw a brilliant light surrounding a pedestal which seemed to rest on the earth. They closed their eyes and again prayed, and they then saw, on opening them, the Father seated on a throne. They prayed again, and on looking, saw the Mother also. After praying and looking a fourth time, they saw the Savior added to the group. He had auburn eyes. Oh, he doesn't. Huh, that's interesting. He had auburn brown. Oh, what am I saying? It doesn't say eyes. Jesus and the Savior are, the Father have blue eyes, by the way, that are very unique. Let me just tell you. Okay, it didn't say that. It says he had auburn brown, rather long wavy hair, and appeared quite young. Yes, actually he does. So, I don't know why I said that. Auburn eyes. Who has auburn eyes? Anyway, I have seen the Savior and the Father. I know what they look like. So, I don't know. I'm having issues today. I slept most of the day. I woke up around 9 because when my wife left, she forgot to close the bathroom door that light comes into the room, and I sleep during the day. So it woke me up. And for some reason, so this morning when I wake my kids up at 5:30 when I get home, and my wife is already awake when I get home. Anyway, the baby wanted to come in the bedroom. And he always likes to watch Sesame Street in the morning. So I turned our TV on in the bedroom, and, you know, I took a shower, and my wife wakes up, and everybody's getting ready, and the baby's watching Sesame Street, being all happy, and, you know, we're getting him dressed and everything. But I fell asleep, and nobody bothered to turn off the light in the bedroom, to close the door where the sunlight comes in, or to turn off the TV. So guess what? I woke up today. Well, I'm always tired. I take Thursday nights and Friday nights off. So I work Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and I'll work tonight, Wednesday night. So I'm at the end of a long week. I work about 12 hours a day usually. Yesterday I didn't work 12 hours because of the pipeline burst in the front yard. But, you know, this is, I've worked what? Excuse me. I've worked a lot this week. I'm tired, you know. So, I just need to get into this reading. We're actually pretty close to being done here. And the programs would be longer if we had some callers, but everybody's too scared to call, so whatever. Anyway, that was recorded in Abraham H. Cannon's journal, August 25th, 1890, located in the archives and manuscripts. Special collections at the H.B. Lee Library at BYU. Since Adam and Eve were seated upon golden thrones and held such exalted positions, it is evident that they have reached an extremely high place in the realm of the gods, involving the possession of priesthood powers. Thus, Eve must have shared in all of the blessings, rights, and privileges that can be offered by the holy priesthood. That's true. And I wish that there was more about that, but there's not. But I'll tell you some more about that in a minute. When we come back on tomorrow, Chapter 3, we're going to be talking about the ancient matriarchs of the scriptures. And I'll read the first part of that. It takes only a quick look through the Bible to see that other noble women besides Eve were worthy to receive the blessings of the priesthood. There are examples of bravery, intelligence, and righteousness prove that they are entitled to the blessings as much as men. Women have many striking examples of her influence and acts in the history of religious empire founding. Miriam charmed the congregation of Israel with her songs and strengthened her brother Moshe, or Moses, powered by her prophecies. Esther rendered the captivity of her people lighter by her mediation. Judith delivered her nation from the Assyrian captain. The two Marys and Martha seemed to have understand Jesus better than the apostles, even his apostles, and they saw first their risen Lord. Saint Helena did much to make her son Constantine the imperial champion of Christianity. perchance there have been no Khadija, I don't know what the heck that's even supposed to say. The world would have, had there been no, oh, I guess that's the name, Khadija, the world would have never known a Muhammad. Oh, I guess that's the mother of Muhammad. The Catholic Church has been more potent through the sisters of the various orders, and the examples which the Mormon sisterhood gave or have given are almost as striking as those sisters of that church. Anyway, okay, so let me see if I can find okay, I told you guys I was going to share a revelation that I received a couple of years ago for my wife. So this is like 5 years ago, I guess, something like that. My wife called me in the middle of the night. I was driving, I was driving up through the canyon going up to Soldier Summit on the way from Provo at the Post Office Distribution Center to Price, Utah, where I parked the semi-truck and then load the mail, and then I load the box truck and they go and deliver down to Emory. Well, my wife calls me in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, and she has this question. Now, back then, we used to do the radio show from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. So, you know, for her being up at 3, it wasn't a big deal. And she was, my wife homeschooled our children. I was the sole person who worked. So for her to be up late, that was not a big deal. Anyway, so she calls me, and I'm in the canyon, and this is a place I don't usually get cell phone reception, but she wants to know how she can receive written revelation, like I receive written revelation where God tells me to sit down and write things, and she's read them, and I guess she likes them. She wanted to know how she could receive them for herself, and I was talking to her about it, and I was trying to help her to understand how that works, and God began to speak to me, and I said, Kim, I've got something for you. Please get a piece of paper and a pen and write this down. So she wrote what I was telling her as I was driving my semi-truck. I didn't stop. The cell phone reception was crisp and clear the whole time. And this is what I received from my wife, and it has to do with matriarchal priesthood. Thus saith the Lord, thy God, unto my handmaiden Kimberly. That's my wife. I have chosen thee to come to the earth at this time, that I might restore the priesthood of women, that you may be a queen upon Mount Zion, that you may be an example unto your sisters and a light unto them, that you might be sealed up unto your eternal lives and receive the glory and honor as your mother and as your eternal mothers have received them before you. You are an elect daughter, and in time you will receive your calling as a mother and a goddess unto the multitude of spirits that will come through you as your sons and daughters. Thou hast been obedient unto me, and have done what I have asked thee to do, and is qualified to be sealed up unto your exaltation and take your place among the gods. And thus it is. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the eternal God of the heavens and the earth. Amen. So, and then God instructed me to give her matriarchal priesthood. And the only reason why I was able to do that is because when I saw the Father in the flesh and knelt before him in 2003, God gave me the fullness of the priesthood, the keys of the kingdom, and the keys of the priesthood. So I had the authority to do that for her. Or she wouldn't have been able to have it through me, but God gave me that authority in 2003 as part of who I am as his witness. So not long after that, I laid my hands upon my wife's head and I gave her matriarchal priesthood, which is the priesthood of women. There are offices within the matriarchal priesthood of deaconess, priestess, and queen is one of them. These are priesthood of women. It's not patriarchal priesthood. It's not the priesthood of men. It's different. But there is power in her priesthood, and she has used it. So anyway, I told you guys I wanted to share that with you before, so that's why I'm sharing it with you now. Anyway, I guess it was a pretty short episode today, but that's fine, because I am actually going to lay back down and go back to sleep for a little bit. I am exhausted. I've got to do one more day, and then I get a day off, and I'm looking forward to that, because 2 weeks ago, I'm going to tell you some things I shouldn't tell you. I needed to take laxatives on a Sunday 2 weeks ago, and I was not able to go to work because it was painful. And then after I took the laxatives, I was on the toilet for let's just say the effects of the laxatives I took lasted over 24 hours, but it wasn't so bad when I went to work the next day. But, you know, so I didn't work, and I usually work on Sunday evenings. Saturday and Sundays and Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesdays, whatever. So I told my boss, okay, well, I have to take today off, so I'll work Thursday instead. And so I worked Saturday, and then I took Sunday off, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then I took Friday off, and I worked Saturday, Sunday. So I took one day off last week, so I'm already tired to begin with. So this will be a nice break coming up for me to take a day off. I've been driving a truck for 20, I started driving a farm truck harvesting potatoes in 1994, and then in 1995 I got my CDL when I was working on getting my diesel mechanics degree. And with the exception of going on my mission, I've been driving a truck since 95. And my body hurts. And I've been involved in one accident where I got rear-ended by another semi-truck, which caused me to have some problems in my back, which caused pain, a lot of pain, actually, especially when it's more inflamed because I've been working a lot. So I've been dealing with this for 25 years. And then in the oil field, I got poisoned in a frack pond, in a retention pond with a bunch of chemicals in it. And so I've got health issues. So I think I just deal with a lot more pain than most people. And that and the fact that I work as much as I work, like I need the days off that I need. Because I'm only 43 years old, but I actually feel like I'm in my 80s a lot of the time. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to my time off. Anyway, I think we're going to leave it at that, and I'll just make the show shorter today. I'll try to post this up on YouTube tomorrow, like I posted yesterday's program on YouTube today, and then I'll share that with everyone. So thank you for listening, for those who actually listen, and I guess just take care and God bless. Thank you for listening. Bye.